Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Hi.
How are you today?
Good.
Thanks.
Thanks. Yeah.
How are you?
Yes, I'm okay.
Last day of being 29?
Yes. Yes.
By the time this goes out, you will be 30.
I will be 30 years old.
Exciting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You going to feel any different? I mean, Peter turned 13 and immediately got unwell.
He injured himself.
I got really unwell for a whole month, and then I was better for 3 days, and now I've injured myself, and my arm really still hurts. So I think I've been 30 for nearly 6 weeks, and I've spent 4 to 5 of those weeks feeling really bad.
That's great.
So you've got lots to look forward to. You're
going to
get a whole month off.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
a whole month to enjoy myself and not be in severe discomfort the entire time.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. No, I have a weekend of complete overindulgence planned.
Oh.
Just going to eat
whatever
I want and drink all of it. All of the stuff.
It's your last chance in your 20s to do that.
Exactly.
Once you're 30, you can't do it anymore.
Yeah, theoretically, today I should be doing all of that
you
stuff.
Should,
because it's diminishing returns from here on. But yeah, that's it. That's what. But I am going to sit in my pants and play video games. That's something I am going to do.
Good.
So that's relevant to this podcast, at least.
Well, before we carry on, you remember a couple of weeks ago when it was Peter's birthday?
I do.
We got Peter some presents.
We did.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Well, guess what?
Good,
we've got you some presents.
You got me some presents?
Yeah, sure, this will come as a huge surprise to you.
Because you didn't see us smuggle them in.
I didn't see you smuggle them in. It wasn't suspicious when it took you longer than usual to come down.
Yeah.
And also
to
when
fair,
I was focusing
that was
the
just
camera,
because we were faffing.
I didn't see Peter move things under the desk at all.
We actually didn't come down because we were taking a long time.
Okay.
I'd forgotten to find the sponsor out. I had forgotten to write down the email they'd sent me,
and
Peter had forgotten
sponsor
to send himself weird news, so we did have to go back upstairs and sort our lives out.
It was a loose attempt to be subtle here, because I thought you'd seen it when we came in, so
no,
my cable was stuck under the PC down here, and I was like
yeah, I absolutely saw.
No, yeah,
people
I thought,
who
also, mine
he's seen
already. I'd given mine to Cultaholic to be like, please hold this. Just
really?
Just came down at the same
That's
time.
Very clever.
My computer hasn't actually been switched off for 2 days because I've had to leave it like doing stuff overnight for 2 nights in a row.
Yes.
And 3 days ago, your thing arrived in the post. Mm. But because Windows is like really helpful and like does event management and stuff, on my lock screen, it says parcel arriving from. And it said that for like 3 days. And
excellent.
I'm like, he's probably not looking at my lock screen.
No,
lock
I'm
screen
not.
Event,
I did not see that, admittedly.
So what do you want first? The present that I've got next to me or the present that Peter's got next to him?
I mean, that's a really hard choice to make because I feel like that's going to have untold consequences. Yeah, but then I'm going to have to pick either the one I think is
Ashton's
most interesting
is
or the one I think is least interesting.
Mine.
Wow, you did wrap yours.
Mainly
that's
because
very nice.
It just came in an Amazon box and it looks a bit rubbish.
Okay.
I would have wrapped this, but I forgot that I got my presents on the podcast and I thought we were going to give these to you tomorrow on your birthday.
No,
and
that's,
then Ashton messaged me last night and said, so we're doing the presents. I was like, oh yeah, mine's under my desk, so I can't wrap it now.
I mean, the fact that I'm getting presents at all is all that matters.
Yeah.
And you're not here tomorrow, so we couldn't
I'm
give you
them tomorrow,
during the day.
No, I'm going to be in my pants.
Also, when we say mine, we did split
together
the duties. So these
so
are from both of us.
Which present that either of you is holding would I like to open? Open first, is that what you're asking? Rather than this one is mine and this
no,
one's
no, they're
yeah,
not.
Yeah,
they're both
from
us.
They're from us collectively.
Plural.
Okay. Well, I do
we
love
just got one each.
Do love to rip into presents.
You want to open this one back?
Well, I was thinking I might save that to last.
Okay.
And open the tube.
You might struggle with the tube because it's all taped shut, but we should have brought you some kind of blade. But
it's all right. It's time to show my might.
Your 30 strength.
My 29 strength today.
Yeah. Then it's all just going to go.
Should I use my nails?
It's
okay. I need to do this. I have to do this alone. Okay, one bit of tape is gone. I've trapped my fingers in it.
Oh, no.
It's fine. I've got it. I'm not in yet. That was dangerous.
Could have taken Ashton out of the face.
Nearly wiped Ashton off the table. Okay.
I've not actually checked that they sent the right one, so actually this is a big mystery.
I'm hoping you either know what it is, fingers crossed. It's some
sort of poster, perhaps.
There were many, many options.
Oh, squeaky. Sorry.
And if it's wrong, then this will be great.
We'll send it bloody back.
Let's see. Ooh.
Oh.
Ooh.
It's the right one.
That's very nice. I like that a lot.
You can get it framed if you want.
It's so tightly wound. Coiled up. I don't want to unfold it in the middle because then it might crease. Look at that.
It's the Kanto region, but in sort of a
almost a Lord of the Rings style.
Yeah. Kind of a fantasy.
Viridian Forest. Look at it. It's huge. Mulberry City. Oh, no. It's not just got Kanto in there, I don't think.
Oh.
It
says Kanto at the top.
Mulberry City. Maybe that's from the anime. Maybe that's an anime bit.
Yeah.
Maybe. Look at that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Pokemon Tech. Gringy City. Yeah, that's definitely anime.
Oh, nice. It's got extra stuff.
Yeah.
Extra cities that I can learn. Don't crease. Must be. Oh, no. There we go. It's going. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's amazing.
When we were looking, we kept sending each other the exact same thing we were already looking at.
Yeah, we're both on Etsy at the same time, and we would then just send identical links to each other at the same time. Like, what about this? Oh, yeah, I just saw that one.
You went down the Ben Potter algorithm.
Mm.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, thank you so much.
This is arguably the creme de la resistance, as they say.
Yeah.
The piece of resistance.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even need to keep ripping, but I will just keep ripping all of the paper. Make all of the
noise. Christmas wrapping paper, would you believe?
Oh, is it? Why has it got little buttholes on it?
It's meant to be snowflakes.
Okay.
It doesn't look overly Christmassy.
It doesn't look overly Christmassy. I thought, well,
keep it.
We just reuse, recycle and all that.
It's a shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good shirt.
Still ripping. Let's have a look. Oh,
you like it?
I love it.
He loves it.
It's a shirt that says, if you can read this, I was forced to put
my controller down and re-enter society.
Well, I've got to put that on now, haven't I?
Surprisingly, not from Wish.
Yeah,
that's why
it arrived in time.
This is a real shirt that grandmas have bought.
We had so many options. We had to we struggled to pick which T-shirt of this nature we wanted to put you in.
Yes. We had similar issues with the poster. We very nearly got you a Scyther poster, but then I was like, I think he's got one. I think he's got a framed Scyther in his flat, or used to have.
I don't know that I have. But
oh, I thought I've seen a fancy Scyther somewhere.
I will have a Scyther on my arm soon.
Happy birthday, Ben.
Happy birthday, like Ben.
Thank you, guys. I feel very special. Feel like a real adult now.
Mm. If you can read this, he was forced to put down his controller
and re-enter society.
And come and do the podcast.
On our little preview, there is so much text on this show.
There is an awful lot.
All the way down to your crotch is where the text goes.
If you're walking past someone in the street, they will not have time to read all of that.
Yeah. I love it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Happy birthday.
What an amazing shirt.
So this is our birthday podcast.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Ben.
This is our birthday podcast where we talk about birthday things and sometimes video games as well. Mm-hmm. Each and every week we're sponsored by a very real video game adjacent sponsor. I believe Ashton has the ad read in front of her right now.
I do. Thanks, Ben.
You're welcome.
So we all watched Eurovision last week, right?
We all watched it.
Yes.
Yeah, everyone in the world watched it. Mm-hmm. And we know that incredibly, the United Kingdom came second.
That's quite frankly
which
not
is
right.
Unheard of in the last since I've been alive. We've barely made it onto the left side of the board. So, from the producers of Trek to Yomi, following Sam Ryder's...
Sorry, what's that?
It's a video game.
Okay.
It came out this month.
Right.
It's like a silhouette-style fighter. I think it's side-scrolling, but I'm not... I can't remember.
Okay, exactly. That's completely passed me by, that one.
Yeah. And coming from the Trek to Yomi people, documenting Sam Ryder's journey to second place at Eurovision, it's Trek to Turin.
I'm going to need some more context.
Turin's where they hosted Eurovision.
Is that where it was hosted this year?
Yeah, in
okay.
Italy.
So right. Is there...
He has to fight with music and words.
The prejudices
against the United Kingdom winning Eurovision. Mm. He has to fight off all the naysayers.
Yeah.
Everyone who says he can't do it, that's the same thing as a naysayer.
Yeah.
Everyone who's trying to beat him at Eurovision.
Yeah.
But he fights them with, because he's a really nice guy. He fights them with
everyone
music.
Except the Ukrainians.
Except the Ukrainians.
And he's like,
you guys go on ahead.
Yeah. Because he's that nice.
Yeah.
He has to fight Russians to keep them out of the competition.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you've just, the whole thing's just narrated by Graham Norton.
Just disinterested
Graham Norton.
Being
rude
being
about
sassy,
people.
Yeah.
Brilliant. When's it out?
Sassy.
It's not coming out.
Oh.
What? I know. It's a surprise to us all. It's not coming out.
That's
it's not real,
upsetting.
Unfortunately.
Really sad about
really
that.
Sorry about that. Oh, ruined your birthday.
You actually have ruined my birthday, so thanks.
My deepest apologies.
No, we're not sponsored by... Trek to Turin?
To Turin. Mm-hmm.
Is that what it was? We're actually sponsored by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump, where for as little as $1 per month, you can submit questions to this podcast. And we have loads of other tiers available as well. Please do go and check it out if you haven't already.
Yes.
Question one?
Comes from Robert Mansell, who says, "Hey, sexy bap."
Whoa.
No, you are
settle
sexy.
Settle down. It's too early.
Was wondering how big your... console collections are, and what additional consoles you would love to add. Me and my fiancé have a Switch each, an Xbox Series S, a PS4, Xbox 360, a GameCube, a PS2, and we both have a 3DS and DS each, plus some Game Boys.
Whoa!
I would love to add a Wii and a PS5 too. Much love, guys. Rob X.
Rob X.
Kiss, Rob.
I currently own... a PlayStation 5, a PlayStation 4, a PlayStation 2, a PC that I use for gaming. I think it says console collections, actually, but yes. And then we have a few sort of shared custody consoles that are floating around. So there's a Switch that technically belongs to either me and Ben or the whole channel. Is it a Vidiot's console?
There's a Vidiot's Switch.
There's a Vidiot's
Switch.
And
there's also a Triple Jump Switch.
And there's a Triple
well.
Jump yeah. Switch. And also there's the Evercade as well. Mm. There's a couple of Evercades, actually.
Yes.
So that's currently at the office, but that's a kind of a shared custody one. But yeah, in terms of what I own at home, PS5, PS4, and a PS2. What I'd like to add, and I'm moving house soon-ish, and I'm told I might be able to have a little man cave.
You might be able to put
God.
Your toys out.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
A little Peter playroom.
Yeah. Exactly, a tiny playroom.
Get a little Peter playroom, yeah?
And once I've got... So the reason I haven't invested in perhaps a couple more consoles is I don't have the space in the living room for them. Mm. And I also feel like if I had... One of these ones I'm about to say would have wired controllers because it's an old console. And the current placement of our TV and sofa would mean that I don't think I would be able to reach the console with the distance that the sofa is from the telly. But I would really like an N64. Mm-hmm. But they're quite well, they're not that expensive, but some of the games are really expensive because they're so rare now and they're physical. You know, people can't just burn them onto discs. So I'm tempted to maybe instead like look into doing a Raspberry Pi or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd love an N64. And also at some point it would be quite nice to have an Xbox Series, probably an S, but yeah, that'd be nice just to widen the scope of what I can play.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I'm thinking at the moment. Ashton?
So me and my boyfriend live apart currently. So we've kind of had to get more stuff because otherwise I can't play stuff up here. So I have my own gaming PC and he has his. And then I have bought a PS5 because I moved here. And then he has the PS5 that we bought initially for the house. We also have a PS4. We have a Switch that we share custody of that sometimes is in Newcastle, sometimes it's in Leicester. It's really just a little mystery. And then as of last weekend when I went to visit my parents, we took the PS2 out of the attic and we now have that as well. Mm. But in my house in which I used to live with him, he has the following: a PlayStation 1, a PSP, a PS Vita, DS is, I think there's two in the house, and I'm pretty sure he has a Wii somewhere as well. I'm just not sure where the Wii is. We've got Wii games and a Wii board, but I don't know what he's done with the Wii. I haven't seen it. Right. So, we have a lot of stuff in the house. We have a full like unit that's... I do not claim ownership over any of it. It's just full of like PlayStation 1 games, PlayStation 2 games, PlayStation 3 games, Vita games. And I'm like, you never play any of these. These are simply for display. These never get out of... Some of them are still in their plastic wrap. And I'm like, we if we move somewhere, because we're looking to move back in together again, we need to find a place for all of your stuff, because there's so much of it. So maybe we might have to downsize on the amount of stuff that we have eventually, but that's the stuff we have. And I kind of do want an Xbox as well.
I might be getting rid of some of my PS2 games that I've had since I was a child when we move house.
Because
I put them into a box when we moved in to our current place, and they've been in that box under the bed all this time. And I'm like, man, I'm thinking I'll just keep the ones that like are very dear to me rather than ones I've kept, because it's like, oh, might play that one day. Maybe. And no, I won't. Just keep the ones that I really love.
I was trying to figure out this game that I was talking about a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. So I didn't realize the PlayStation 2 was in the attic. And my dad came, was like upstairs trying to get it out of the attic. And apparently he was shouting me and I was not listening. So I was downstairs. So he did it all on his own. Came down with this big box of like, it had the PlayStation 2, a bunch of like peripherals, had like the iToy, a couple of like SingStar microphones in it. Mm-hmm. And then it had a bunch of games. And I was like, cool, well, this is the games that I was thinking of. And then I was like, well, thanks, Dad. And then Ben went, I'm going to have all of these. Can I have them? And I was like, we don't have room for them. What do you mean? Why do you want this box of stuff? So now we have that as well.
Free games.
Yeah, you've got to take them. So,
you do.
So yeah, we have lots of stuff in the house. But I would like an Xbox Series at some point as well. I just can't justify buying one right now because I don't have the time to play all of the Xbox games. Yeah. And if I do, I'm playing most of them on my PC anyway.
That's exactly why I'm
so thinking. I would like one at some point, potentially, but I'm in no rush. So
nice. Game Pass is tempting, that's the thing. I know I could play that on PC, but yeah, I don't have the
Game
time.
Pass is very tempting. Mm-hmm. Mm. So, are you going to talk about what's in your house now?
Yes. Yes, I suppose I am, Ashton Matthews. Here it comes. I have a PlayStation 5. Mm-hmm. I have two PS4s. I have two PS3s. I have a PS2. I have a PS1. I have a GameCube. I have an N64. I have a Xbox Series S. I have the Switch, the Vidiot Switch, currently. I have, a DS Lite, a 3DS, a Vita, a couple of PSPs, a PlayStation TV, which is the Vita that you can plug into the television, like the home console version. I have about 6 Game Boy Advance SPs, 3 Game Boy Advances, probably about 15 Game Boy Colors, 3 or 4 original Game Boys. I'm just trying to think if there's anything. I think that might be everything.
Did you have a Game Boy Advance?
Yes, I got 3 of those.
Did you say that?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, I got 3 of those.
I was just sort of drowning in a sea of Game Boys.
Yeah, there's a lot of Game Boys in, and I live in a flat, so...
But they're very neatly organised in your flat,
I have to say.
Yeah,
the ones you can see, there's also a drawer just full of all... You remember when I got the rest of this tattoo done and I got really drunk and spent like £200 on eBay?
And then stuff is arriving for weeks. Office.
Yes. Yeah, that currently has just gone in a drawer because I have nowhere to put it.
Mm. Yeah.
So... I think that's all of the consoles I own, but I would add to it if I could. Honestly, the idea of moving terrifies me. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to happen. I think I'll just live here renting forever until my landlord dies, and then I'll buy it, maybe.
But theoretically, if you move, it might be into a small house, which is bigger than a flat.
That's true. I could have an entire
more space
room. Yeah. Although I kind of you my entire have a, flat's dedicated
a Ben to a Ben playroom is like Peter's playroom.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my entire flat is my playroom currently. I can put whatever I want wherever I want. It's great. I would quite like a Wii. My parents
should
do have
gone
one.
Before we started the podcast.
Nice.
He's over 30 now. He can do that stuff. A Nintendo Wii, I'd quite like. My parents do have our family one, and we have one of the controllers and the nunchucks in the office for emulation purposes. But the console's with them, and an Xbox 360 would be quite nice to have as well, just because it's a great console and there's lots of good games on it. So a lot of them are on Game Pass now, though. But there we are. There's my answer, and that is that.
Good answer.
Are you guys ready to do something we've never done before?
Is it a special birthday section?
It's a special birthday section. It's a second special birthday section.
Oh.
It's called What We Play In.
Oh.
It's What We Play In time. Time to talk about What We Play In. Peter, what have you been playing?
I think I've only played one game since the previous podcast. Can you guess what it is?
Was
can
it Lego
you
narrow? Star Wars?
It was Lego Star Wars.
Oh, it's not Orc must die.
Singular. Singular.
No.
One orc.
But if you like, I can talk about that in my answer to question two briefly. But I've been playing Lego Star Wars. I've now finished the original trilogy. On stream, I've now just started the original trilogy, even though on the first time I played it, I played through almost all of The Phantom Menace, got to the Darth Maul fight, and it was the end of the stream, and I had to stop.
Right.
And then my data didn't save onto the Office PS5. So when I came in to continue,
nightmare.
I was like, oh, well, we got to just start a different trilogy, I guess. So playing through A New Hope. Yeah. Because I did like a temporary login, but with my actual PlayStation account.
Mm.
But you know, you can like just temporarily log in rather than add it to the console.
Yeah.
And then when I was about to turn the console off, it was like, your data won't be saved. I was like, oh, okay. And then I Googled it, and there's like a way that you can like add the profile without turning the console off to the PS5 so that it will save the data. But it involves way more gymnastics than you would expect, where you have to like log into a separate temporary account without logging out the one that you were logged into.
Right.
And then do some stuff in like the user menu. And then, anyway, I did one step slightly wrong seemingly. And then it like logged out my temporary account while I was logged in on a different one. And then the data just went.
That's very sad.
So yeah, PS5, it just works.
It does. Mm. It's very easy.
It just makes sense.
I mean, it's my fault for temporarily logging in, but I didn't even realize I'd done that until like I'd been playing for 2 hours. And then it was like, by the way, when you turn this off, we're not going to save anything.
Mm-hmm. Got him.
So that was fun. But yeah, so nearly at the end of the original trilogy at home. I've enjoyed that more than the prequel trilogy. Mm-hmm. I thought there's a bit more to it. Feels a bit more like you're actually just having some adventures and stuff. Not even sure how I feel about doing the sequel trilogy at this point. Like I might do. Well, I think I will do at home. But like I'm still just kind of beelining through and not really stopping to do any of the extras. And maybe like when I get through all the stories and then go back and start like exploring these worlds a bit more thoroughly and just taking it all in, maybe I'll enjoy it a bit more. But at the moment, I'm having a good time. But not
a great time.
It's not like in proportion to the level of hype that I think I had about this game. And even the level of hype that they were trying to like put on, you know, in terms of marketing, like saying this is like the best Lego game we've ever made. It's huge. It's exciting. The only thing that is true about that is it's huge.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it looked like it was going to be amazing, and I'm not amazed. I'm a bit overwhelmed, as we've said, ad nauseum at this point. But yeah, there we go. I've been just playing that this week. Some cables just slid on the table.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I think we're okay.
Oh, I know why. It's because I moved my legs and there's cables everywhere.
Snagged, snagglepust.
Did, yes.
Ashton, what have you been playing?
Well, Peter, this week I had a couple of days off because I was a bit...
You had plops.
I had
the
plops.
You did.
And during those 2 days, I played one game and one game only. I played Cyberpunk 2077.
Cyberpunk.
I am really enjoying it. I've been having a really lovely time just bumbling around in Night City.
Good.
All the characters I feel like are really like fleshed out, and every character you meet kind of has a different storyline and a different kind of character arc. There's one character called Pan Am who I am in love with, and I want her to be my wife. She's
great. Old enough to be your mum?
No, she's not.
Oh, that's unusual.
Plot twist, she's not. She's great, and she keeps like flirting with me, and I'm like, are we gonna kiss right now? And then she just palms me off every time, and I'm like, Pan Am! But she's got given me another mission right now, so I'm hoping, fingers crossed,
this could be the moment.
A kiss Pan Am. But I've been really enjoying it. There's only one moment where I was like, this is really annoying me. You know how sometimes, and it's not the only game that does it, but it just particularly annoyed me. You know how when you're like, tail this car, like follow it in your car, and then the game will just throw a car out of every junction just to be like, isn't this fun and exciting? Dodge the cars. But I was getting really annoyed because I was like, okay, well, you're just throwing cars at me. I can't go around them. I'm just getting stuck on them all. You're putting like a lorry in the middle of the road that has not been an issue in any of the rest of the game. So stop doing that. I hate it. It really annoys me. But I've also been playing some Tiny Tina, and I'm going to break my like self-imposed, I'm not going to moan about this game, briefly to talk about the DLC.
To moan about the DLC. Okay. Every week that goes by, I feel less interested in playing this game.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
I've like enjoyed some more of the story, and I've been like liking some of the levels that we've gone through. I'm still not in love with the story, and I still find that they talk too much, and I miss a lot of the dialogue because it's kind of happening while I'm in the middle of doing something else. But the Coiled Captors DLC is the current one that's come out. I didn't know how you found it first. I had to Google how you get to it because it doesn't like come up on your mission log like the DLC kind of doesn't be like, go here for this mission. Mm-hmm. It's just a new area that pops up after you've got the DLC that I had to Google where I had to go to do it. But it's kind of like it's like a Circle of Slaughter kind of thing where it's got like, it goes up in difficulties.
My least favorite DLCs or missions from Borderlands have always been those. Survival rubbish.
But it's like, instead of it just being like, go in this area and then just kill enough enemies in like waves of five, there's basically like five rooms, and then every room there's just like a bunch of enemies, or you have to like spin a totem around or turn a like knob to let the water come out, and then you go through to the next room, blah 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 blah, and then you fight the boss at the end, and it goes up, and I think there's five difficulties. We've done one and two, and it also gives you like a little added little mission to do. So the first one was like, get 10 melee kills, which both mine and MB's characters do too much elemental damage, so we were just killing them before we even get a chance to hit them with our melee attacks. We weren't doing that one. And then the second one was like, find the two chests with souls in them in every level, in every room. And that one we did fine. But then it was like the same five rooms, like both times. And I had thought that it was like procedurally generated, like it would be a different kind of order of rooms, or there was like it was swap some out. But it's exactly the same as the first time. The only difference was the beginning cutscene as you go into the level was slightly different. She'd like say something else and it had like a different name. So I thought, oh, it's called like Twilight something. I thought it would be a different level because the first one was like Oceans of Terror or whatever. And I thought, well, that makes sense because we're in like a little underwater looking area, like Atlantis. And the next one I thought, oh, it'd be a different like vibe. It wasn't, it was exactly the same. And you just have to do that over and over again. And there's only two trophies to do it the first time and then do it on the highest difficulty. And I was like, it's a bit boring, you know, just a bit boring. You get souls and then you can like use the souls to spin the wheel, and the wheel gives you good loot. So you get like a couple of decent grenades and stuff out of it, and some good, well, not grenades, spells. And then a couple of decent kind of like shields and stuff. But other than that, I have no interest in going back to do it. We did two, and then I was like, can we go do something else now? I'm a bit bored. But I think what they're doing with it is that the next couple of DLCs will also be similar, and they'll all be in this area that you have to go to. And then you like do different like stories in this area, because it's like there's room for other things in this particular like map you have to go to start it. So I don't know if it's going to be like, this is the first DLC, and the next one will be like, yeah, it's just next to it. You just turn left and you can go into the next one. So I'm not impressed with it. And I think if I'd have bought it, because I didn't buy this one, we were given a code. I think if I'd have bought it, I'd have been disappointed. to be
honest. I've just noticed on your note that you've got the word Pan Am
in a heart.
In a heart.
Just wanted to mention her. Love her.
Must remember to say love Pan Am.
I love her. She's great. So, yeah. But I've enjoyed other bits of Tiny Tina. I've been enjoying the story a lot more. Again, it's just too much talking. And they're just bumbling around while I'm just doing stuff. And I'm like, well, the button's here. Mm. And then they're just discussing, like, should we press the button or should we not press the button? Well, if you press the button, will it have those consequences? And I'm like, I'm here. I've got here. Mm. Can I press the button now, please? So that's all I've played.
Oh, man. Wow. I don't know that I'm ever going to play this bloody game.
I really want you to play it.
No, I don't think
just so that I feel like I want to know if my thoughts and feelings are justified.
Do you want me to potentially have a bad time to make you feel better?
You might not have a bad time and it might just be a me problem.
Well, from what I've played, I was unimpressed. I will say that much. And I probably will end up playing the whole thing because it's a co-op game and I like those. And I also like Borderlands, but I didn't like the humor in Borderlands 3, and I didn't like the changes in the gameplay and the mechanics, really. And this just goes even further down both of those rabbit holes, seemingly, and that's not a good thing for me. So we will see if I get to that eventually. I have played The Complex, which is a Wells Interactive game, continuing on this trend, because I forgot that I hadn't got the platinum in it yet. So I thought, okay, I'll download that and I'll get the platinum in it. Yeah.
Right.
And I did.
That's the one where there's a gas.
Like a deadly contagion or something.
Oh, yeah. And then that guy gets shot or something.
Lots of people get shot depending on the choices you make. It's not very good, but it was pretty fun.
I got all of the characters killed when we played it.
I think you did.
They mowed him down with a machine gun and I was like, whoops.
Hell yeah.
It's often the way when you play these interactive
it
stories.
It is often the way.
All in. I have also played some more Switch Sports Bowling just because it's so easy when you've got people around and stuff. I have just purchased My Name is Mayo 3, which came out this week. Very exciting. Lots of people who collect trophies will be familiar with the My Name is Mayo series. The 1 and 2 were priced at 99p, and it's an easy platinum trophy that you can get, but it's like, it's not one of those, it's not a good game, but it's not one of those games that is just bad and they put a platinum in it. Like, this game is very self-aware that it's absurd, and you have to tap on a jar of mayonnaise. That's what you do. You press a button and you tap the jar of mayonnaise, and you do that thousands of times, and then you get the platinum trophy. And that's that. The third one is out now, completing the trilogy. Very exciting. I know Andrew from Cultaholic will be beside himself. $1.99 though, a 100%
markup.
Hugely expensive version now, but I have bought it.
They know what people will pay for a platinum.
Yes, and it's $1.99. If they charge more than $1.99 for My Name is Mayo 4, then I'm out. They've lost a customer, quite frankly. But the main thing I am going to play this weekend when I'm in my pants in the dark eating fried chicken, as I am wont to do on my birthday, I will be playing Final Fantasy VII Remake on PS5 because I've been putting it off for ages and I've really been looking forward to playing it again.
So you haven't played it yet?
I have played it. I played PS5. I got the PS4 version.
Oh, I see. Right, of course.
But I haven't played the PS5 version yet. Also got that Yuffie DLC that I'd like to play too. So that is, I'm looking forward to diving into that, basically.
I was kind of hoping you were going to say Horizon Forbidden West, but
no,
that's okay
it.
Too.
I don't have it.
Well, you should buy it.
Well, I will eventually. So much to play. Let's move on to question two.
Yes, let's. This comes from Cameron Keyword. Hello, Bap. I have a break from uni and started Evil Genius 2 on Sunday afternoon and had played 20 hours by Tuesday evening, having found myself addicted to the micromanagement aspect of being evil. Oh, there was a lot of commas in that. Have you had any similar experiences with a game where you just can't put it down? Kindest regards, Cameron Keyword.
Thanks, Cameron. I mean, there have been many games over the years where I've been like, I literally have to go to bed. It's 4 a.m., but I don't want to. So, I mean, for example, Skyrim was a big one when that first came out. You know, I just didn't want to stop playing. Ben didn't stop playing and then hated it
because
got sick of it. The most recent one that I can think of that really hooked me and I made myself stop at like kind of, I either did it in two sittings or possibly three, and I probably would have done it quicker than that, but I wanted it to last a bit longer, was The Last of Us Part 2. That one really, you know, hooked me in. And Orcs Must Die is, you know, the obligatory one as well. Like, I spent many evenings as a student playing that over and over, trying to just get like perfect 5-star levels and just come up with the best choke points and stuff. So all kinds of games, really. Difficult to kind of pin down anything that sticks out. But yeah, the most recent one for me, Last of Us Part Two.
I find myself finding a game and just being kind of all encompassed by it. Like, it's all I think about during the day. I'm like, I want to get home and play this game. Mm-hmm. It's all I want to do. I get home and I just play the game. Happened with Evil Genius 2, actually. Yeah. I played a lot of that. There was like one weekend where I think I just sat and I didn't do anything. I just played Evil Genius 2. Mm-hmm. To the point where I basically was at the end of the game, like the last mission. It was like, when you do this mission, you won't be able to do anything else. And I was like, oh, that's sad. So I haven't done the mission. I've just been bumbling around doing other things. But I really enjoyed Evil Genius 2, so I completely understand why you've been obsessed with it, Cameron Keyword. However, I've also, we know, was obsessed with Horizon Forbidden West, mm-hmm. and it was all I thought about, and it was all I played until I'd finished it. That was the same with Zero Dawn. I did the exact same thing when I replayed it and when I played it the first time. Weirdly, Unpacking hooked me. And I had
out on PlayStation now.
Yeah, I had to take myself to bed like you did. Where I was like,
you had to pack yourself.
I had to pack myself into my bed because it was 1 o'clock in the morning and I did have to go to work the next day. And I thought, if I keep playing this, I'm really close to finishing it. I can feel that I'm almost close, like I'm almost done. However, if I don't finish this in the next half an hour, I'm going to have to go to bed because otherwise I'm going to be really moody tomorrow and it's going to be everyone else's problem. So, Unpacking, I did the same with. And currently it's Cyberpunk. I was playing Final Fantasy VII Remake and then I installed Cyberpunk and now I haven't been able to go back to Final Fantasy VII Remake because I'm a bit obsessed with Cyberpunk right now.
You can't even verify that Aerith's theme is better than Tifa's, which is sad, but, you know, one of these days.
Well,
never mind.
Each to their own, Ben.
No, it's just science, sadly. Can't argue with the facts.
Okay, well, yeah. We're currently at Cyberpunk, but I do find myself getting, like, hooked on a game. It happened with The Last of Us 2 as well. I was like, this game is... I like this one. I'm going to just play this one for a week straight.
But I think you'll find that the Night City theme is better than the breathtaking theme. That one.
I actually think
that's a fact.
Barrett's singing of the themes of actually... Yeah.
5 stars.
5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
So there.
Is that everything?
Yeah.
Okay. There have been various games that I've just got completely obsessed with. Mass Effect 2 and 3. I think I remember staying up until the very early hours of the morning. I was at university at the time, mm-hmm. so I was able to do that because it's a flipping joke, isn't it? Higher education.
Time doesn't exist for
you. Absolute farce. However, one thing in particular that I have highlighted here, purely because of the part of Cameron's question about the sort of micromanagement aspect of a game, the one that I remember getting absolutely obsessed with was Assassin's Creed 2's sort of wealth accumulation of the art that you have in your mansion. I can't remember the specifics now because it's been a long time since I played it. But your mansion, you get art for it. And in real time, you make money based on the value of the stuff that's in your household, essentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I got really into that and I would leave my console on for long periods of time just to accumulate a huge amount of wealth so that I could buy dyes for my assassin clothes, you know, and change the color of it slightly and stuff. And that's just a really small aspect of a game that probably not a huge amount of thought was put into, and there probably weren't that many people who were into it. But that sprung to mind immediately when I read this question was, man, I really loved making money in Assassin's Creed 2 by doing nothing.
Well, you say that. I immediately was like the turnip stock market in Animal Crossing. Like when Animal Crossing had its hold on me, which it did have its hold on me, all I was like, right, how much are my turnips? How much can I sell my turnips for? Are they good? Should I tell everyone about my turnips?
And they're ruined.
Are they good? And I've time traveled and they're dead. Nightmare. But I was equally as obsessed. I was like on a Facebook group being like, has anyone got good turnip prices? Mine like £2 or like, I would be like, my turnips are currently worth 180. Would anyone like to come and sell the turnips with me? And then everyone would come and visit your island, sell your turnips. I'd just leave my Switch on the side while I was working and people would come visit my island and sell their turnips. So, yeah, that was always a good time.
Did you ever get visited by...
Elijah Wood?
Yes.
No, I did not, unfortunately. I was not lucky enough.
All the celebrities were into Animal Crossing.
Everyone was into Animal
Crossing.
Everyone.
They were all stuck in their houses. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of micromanagement, that's just reminded me of a game that in a different sort of way I was really obsessed with. It wasn't the same where you just put hours and hours into it because you couldn't, because of the way it was designed. But when I was maybe in sixth form, me and my friends played a free browser game that was called Neptune's Pride.
Okay.
And it was a sort of strategic, I don't want to say RTS because it wasn't real time, but it was a strategy game basically where you got a 2D star map, right? You're in a galaxy and you start with like three or four stars that belong to you. And then further beyond that, there's like a fog of war, but you can see where other stars are that are undiscovered.
Mm-hmm.
And you can send your ships out to go and like discover those stars. And then the further you go, eventually you're going to encounter other people who you're playing like with your friends. And you can either like try and cooperate or you can attack each other's stars with your ships. But it was this, it was really slow paced in that all you had to do was like log in once a day and like say, oh, send these ships that way. And then they would move really slowly over a period of like 12 to 24 hours.
Hmm.
But all of us were like really into it, and you could like DM each other. And when you got launched into the game, it would randomly assign you a sort of a profile picture for your species. And it would just be some like weird looking alien.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like role playing like mad. Like mine was just this blue guy. He had like a circular blue head.
Mm-hmm.
And I like named all of my ships stuff like Rhythm and Blues and like, nice. You know, I can't even think of
Dabba-Dee.
Bluegrass, Dabba-Dee, exactly. And there was this other guy who was like the space slug, and he was, it was, you know, everyone got like obsessed with it for weeks. And there's all this like intrigue and like subterfuge where you're like making alliances and then double crossing other people. God, it was amazing.
Sounds incredible.
But like really slow paced, and it didn't take hours and hours of your day. You just logged in, see what other people are doing, which stars have been taken in the past day or so, tell your ships what to do for the next day. And then you log in the next day and see what's going on. But we were all just so into it at the time. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It was fun. It's time then for something a bit strange. It's weird news.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
It's weird news time. Time for some weird video game news. Remember, you can always submit your weird video game news to us on Facebook and Twitter in the appropriate post that goes out once a week. Before we get to the weird news, though, we need to talk about the podcast producers for this week. If you'd like to become a podcast producer, go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump. Very big thank you to these podcast producers who have decided to support us at that tier this month. Nathan.
Josh Plain.
G.Y. Goliath.
Sean Legg.
Corey Duffill.
Ellie Nicholas.
Erica Hutchinson.
Melody L. Bonnet.
Katie Jarrett.
And Gabrielle Philippink.
Thank you so much, podcast producers. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Very much indeed.
What's your weird news, Peter?
Got a weird news here that was submitted by Michael Milan. And it's from thegamer.com.
Mm.
Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl will remove Jenny Wakeman dialogue associated with NSFW parody.
What?
What? Well, that's what? A reference for the hardcore fans, is the subheading. This is by Rhiannon
Bavan. Because, like, hardcore, because, like...
Point. Fans of hardcore
point
stuff, I guess. Yeah, points. Jenny Wakeman, don't know who that is, was revealed to be in the next be the next DLC fighter in Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl yesterday alongside Rocco, I know that one, and Hugh Neutron, who presumably is related to Jimmy
Neutron's dad?
Oh, yeah, he's the one from the memes. You're going to the Phantom Zone.
That's right.
Like, you're going to the Phantom Zone, Jimmy, or whatever. I don't know. Something like that.
The latter almost upstaged her. What, Hugh? Oh, yeah, okay, sorry, I thought it was... Yeah, okay, that's fine. The latter almost upstaged her, as fans couldn't get over how Jimmy's dad was making it into the game before the boy genius himself. Is he not even in it?
No.
Oh, wow.
No.
Weird choice.
It's the power of the meme, man.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
However, for better or worse, Jenny found a way to get into the spotlight thanks to the filthy minds of some fans. As discovered by players, one of Jenny's pre-fight banters includes a line from the show that is heavily associated with a My Life as a Teenage Robot porn parody. No, I can't believe I'm typing this either. The line quickly went viral on... Are you Googling
it? I'm Googling what this is.
Okay.
My Life as a Teenage Robot.
The line quickly went viral online, as few could believe that a line with such naughty implications had made it into the DLC pack.
Mm.
In fact, none were more shocked than Nick...
She's hot.
Blimey. Let's see. Wow. Yeah, great.
That certainly is a cartoon robot.
Yes.
In fact, none were more shocked than Nick Brawl Dev. Oh, that's...
I thought so his name was Nicholas.
Yeah, no,
Nicholas Brawl.
Apparently, it's abbreviated to Nick Brawl. None were more shocked.
No, it's not, though, is it? They've just done that.
None were more shocked than Sir Nicholas Brawl, developer Thaddeus Cruz. That sounds more like a game than Nick Brawl.
Punchiest
Thaddeus
kick.
Cruz, who has now revealed that the offending dialogue will be removed from the game. To those of us,
Suplex would have just worked, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
I don't know why I tried to make it a male
Susan
developer.
Plex. To those of us beautifully unaware of the connotations, the line in question sounds innocent enough and actually comes from the show. I don't know what... This is really silly.
It's falling apart, the gamer.
You wouldn't like my brain. It's all circuitry and metallic, Jenny screams, unaware that she just reminded the world of a very different cartoon she unwittingly stars in. The adult version switches brain to body for reasons I'm sure you can figure out yourself. So apparently in this porn parody, she says, you wouldn't like my body. It's all circuitry and metallic.
Oh, that's not a very sexy thing
but
to say, is it?
In the show, she says, you wouldn't like my brain. It's all circuitry and metallic.
But that's a quote from the show
but
anyway.
That's a quote from the show.
So what are we doing here?
And they put it into the game because it's a quote from the show. But apparently there's a porn parody. There must be multiple porn parodies of all kinds of shows in this game.
Bless you.
It's making me sick.
As Twitter blew up, sharing the screenshot around in disbelief, Thaddeus Cruz commented on the discovery. Boy, was I flabbergasted, he said. While it's a line from the show, it has unfortunate implications by proxy, and as such, we'll be removing it. Cruz elaborated on the situation in the game's official Discord. If you ever wanted a concise example of how spread out and not on the same page this project is, here you go. Most likely someone on the team did know what they were doing by adding it.
It's just a line from the show.
How popular is this porn parody?
I've never heard of this cartoon.
Half the world knows about it.
Let alone this porn parody. The fact that it's
a
line from the show that then was included in the porn parody, but somehow that line has eclipsed the original line from the show.
Yeah.
This is so far out of my realm of experience.
I
just don't know why this is such a big deal.
This show aired from 2003 to 2009. It hasn't been on air since 2009. I have never heard of this show before.
Me neither.
It's like if, I'm trying to think of a Simpsons catchphrase, it's like if there was a Mr. Burns porn parody, which everyone wants to see,
yes,
I'm sure,
yeah,
and he says, sexcellent, right, yeah, with his hands clasped. And then they made a Simpsons Wrestling 2, and they were going to have Mr. Burns say excellent, and then they were like, oh, wait.
Because of the porn
parody. No, there's that porn parody where he says sexcellent.
You can't do it.
You can't do it.
I mean, think this is too niche to really be an issue.
Yeah.
And then what was that bit at the end there where one of the developers basically said, yeah, this project's a disaster.
He says no one knows what they're doing. And clearly one of the devs was aware of the porn parody.
I mean, it's news to me that these characters have any voice acting whatsoever, because I thought they had none.
These characters exist. Oh, what, in the game ones?
Yeah.
When we played it, I don't remember anyone saying
anything. No one said anything, so I don't know.
There is a final paragraph here. So there you have it, folks. Enjoy your lewd reference while you can. And if you have no idea where the line came from, then appreciate your blissful ignorance and do all you can to maintain it.
Well, you've ruined that, haven't you, the gamer?
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter, does it?
You told me now, and I already know.
Weird news.
That's very weird news.
Well, from one sexy line to another one.
Oh.
This comes from Nintendo Life, written by Liam Doolan. Random!
Who submitted this?
At Lord of Penguins on Twitter.
Was that Michael Milan? Because Michael Milan submitted to... Oh, no, I think it...
I'm not sure. I didn't write their name down.
No,
because if Michael Milan has sent us two sexy news stories...
Bonk. Right to horny jail.
I'll find out for you.
Former Nintendo employee admits he was really worried about leaking saucy Waluigi artwork. Kit was concerned Nintendo Minute was making a terrible mistake.
Okay.
Nintendo's purple mischief maker Waluigi created some saucy scenes last May when a new render of him holding a rose surfaced online. This same render was first shared during an episode of Nintendo Minute, and it seems it actually caused some drama in the office before the video was even released. During a Q&A on the latest episode of the Kit and Krista podcast, former Nintendo employee Kit revealed how he was actually really worried about featuring this render in Nintendo Minute.
This was Michael Milan.
Oh.
Straight to horny jail with you, Michael.
Bonk.
Throw away the key.
There's no real backstory about where exactly it came from, but it is official, and Kit was concerned the video team might accidentally be leaking something really important or breaking an embargo. Here's our transcript. This is a quote all from him. So we did the video of the Switch... of the Nintendo Switch Lite, there was a new colour scheme of it, and, like, it is blue or purple was a big... And, like, is it blue or purple was a big debate. So we did kind of a colour test of it with a lot of different things. And I remember one of the people who's editing the video was like, oh, our design team says they have this new artwork of Waluigi that they've been just waiting to get out there, so we should use it. And we're like, yeah, that sounds great. And as they were editing the videos and as we were watching the cuts, I was like, this is really unusual that they just had this new artwork sitting around. Like, they always have a plan. It's going out there. This is the date. And I'm like, this doesn't sound right. And I started to get really worried about we were making a terrible mistake and that we were going to be leaking or, like, you know, breaking some embargo for this artwork. So I was really bracing for it when this episode came out. This is just a random updated render of the main character. And it's got its tongue out. It's not loading.
I have seen it in the preview of the article.
Yeah. Krista, on the other hand, didn't really care because it was about Waluigi. So, there you go. This render was even a surprise for people within Nintendo America's offices. What do you think of this unique Waluigi artwork? That's the whole article. Is that one person cared and that one person didn't care. Can we load it up?
It's a bit less exciting than I thought.
Oh, wow.
It's a good picture,
isn't
it?
It's a really strange pose that he's...
See, I thought the headline implies that the person who released it was worried, like, is it too sexy? Are we going to get in trouble for this? But actually, he was just concerned that there was an embargo on the artwork. So that's a way less exciting article than I thought.
But, I mean, it is definitely an interesting render.
Yeah,
I don't know why someone would make this.
No. He's sort of licking
a
rose.
It's a bit of a pin-up kind of pose.
Yeah, it is.
And the tongue out.
There's definitely a version of this where he's not wearing any clothes.
Do you want to try and show that? Yeah, there is. Do you want to try and show it to the camera?
Yeah, you can sort of see it there.
Should I zoom in on the...
On the tongue?
The link will be available... link will be available below the video if you're watching on YouTube.
So, weird.
Weird. And a bit sexy.
It's quite sexy. My weird news comes from Johnny Mack on Twitter and Jonathan Wong on Facebook. It's from Nintendo Life and Liam Doolan. Was Liam Doolan yours as well?
He was.
Random! Sonic the Hedgehog's ugly design apparently makes a cameo in the new Chippendale movie.
Meow.
The original Sonic the Hedgehog movie made headlines for all the wrong reasons when it was initially revealed. Fans were quick to call out this disturbing-looking version of the blue blur. Fortunately, Paramount redesigned him, and the ugly, it says in quotes, design was axed. While we didn't expect to ever see this version again, for unknown reasons it's been discovered, the new Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers movie on Disney Plus has revived this particular version of Sonic with human-like chompers. In an Empire review, it's revealed Ugly Sonic is one of the funniest highlights of the entire movie. There's a quote here. But the funniest moments feature one who's never... Hang on. But the funniest moments feature one who's never previously made it to the screen.
But the funniest moments feature one who's never previously made it to the screen. It's probably lacking context.
Yeah, I think it's just been lifted. They've not changed any of it.
There are lots of characters in this thing, but
the funniest moments, plural. Yes, brace yourself for Ugly Sonic, proof that hedgehogs with human teeth are not always a bad idea. Okay. According to Slash Film, Ugly Sonic is voiced by comedian and actor Tim Robinson. And then it just embeds a trailer. So if you want to see Ugly Sonic on screen, you need to watch the new Chip and Dale movie that's coming to Disney Plus.
Random. I know, if so someone had just said
three sexy stories today.
Yeah,
absolutely. If someone had said to me, "There's going to be a new Chip and Dale movie. Will you watch it?" I would have said no. It's not for me.
Now though,
but I mean, even before this, the more I've heard about this, the more interesting it sounds. Apparently, one of them is CG Chip and Dale
CG,
and the other one is like hand drawn. And there's this weird, it's almost like a kind of a multiverse thing going on.
Yeah, it's a multiverse situation, I think.
That's bizarre.
Which is bizarre, but also sounds kind of a little bit interesting.
Kind of
so I might try and find out more about this film.
Okay.
Give it a watch.
I don't think you should.
Meow.
I'll probably watch it.
Question three.
Meow.
It's from David Lever, who says, "Hiya, Pab.
Hi.
Hiya.
Are there any video game art or lore books that you own or would like to own? Or is there a game you'd like to get an art or lore? You'd like to get an art or lore book? I have all the Zelda ones and they're super nice. Have a merry podcast, David."
Thank you, David.
And to you also, David.
Yes. I own the Crash Bandicoot Files, How Willy the Wombat Sparked Marsupial Mania.
Excellent.
Good title.
I love that one. It's my favorite.
For context, originally Crash Bandicoot was going to be a wombat called Willy. They went through various marsupial designs. Eventually he became Crash Bandicoot, but he was going to be Willy Wombat. I own The Art of Spyro Reignited, which is a beautiful book. I happen to own a Guild Wars art book that came with the game. I wouldn't have bought it if it had been available separately, but it just came with it. And then kind of adjacent, I own a couple of Prima guides, like for PS1 games. And part of the reason I buy those is not, I certainly don't buy them for the guides, because it's normally for games that I really like and therefore I probably know back to front, but they quite often have like cool sort of late 90s renders of in-game characters that you don't always necessarily even see in the game. They've just like rendered them separately as assets, as like promotional stuff, and they've gone into the guide. So I like just seeing like weird renders of PS1 models and stuff like that. So yeah, I buy them for the art as much as anything else. So that's what I've got. I completely missed the bit that David said about, you know, what would you like to have an art or lore book? So I will think about that and I'll ask Ashton what your answer is.
Thanks, Peter. So I have actually not read it because it is in Leicester and I keep forgetting to bring it back with me. The Talana comic for Horizon, like the between Forbidden West and Zero Dawn, not the other way around, called Sunhawk. I haven't read it yet, but I know a lot about it because I read up on all the lore already, but I'm excited to read that at some point. But I would like the Last of Us art book and the Borderlands 2 art book because I think they look really cool and I just like to look at them, if that was all right.
I don't think they can consent. I think you just sort of have to do it.
Yeah, that's true. I think, I can't remember if I'm like thinking correctly here, but I think if you had like a certain version of Horizon Forbidden West, you got a book with it as well, potentially an art book.
Probably. That's pretty standard special edition.
Yeah, with like the like £200 one. But I didn't buy that because I don't have enough money for £200 of video game stuff. So I would like that. at some point as well, if they sell it individually, which they might do somewhere. I just haven't looked very hard, but that would be nice to have at some point.
At some point.
And that's all I have to say on the matter.
Okay, thank you for your statement. Okay. Appreciate it. I have a few art books that came with things. I think I've got a Persona 5 art book, an original Demon Souls little art book that came with the special edition of that. Probably a little Dark Souls one as well. I don't really care for art or lore books in that I think they make for great display pieces and they're often very nicely presented, you know, really lovely covers and stuff. But I know for a fact that I would never open them, never look at them. And people would come over and go, oh, you've got that thing. That's so nice. And they would never look at it either. Yeah. And it would just be a big, heavy book that takes up loads of space, and gets no use. I do have a few strategy guides, like Peter does, for, I think I've got Pokemon Yellow and Red and Crystal and Stadium, I think I've got the strategy guides for. Again, mainly purchased because I just sort of wanted to put them on display. They don't take up quite as much room as some of the bigger art books. But if I was to go for like a lore and art book, it would definitely be a From Software one. There are some really good thick books about Bloodborne and Dark Souls and stuff like that. So if I was going to have one, I would have one of those. But again, I just know I have enough stuff and tat related to video games, and a big heavy book that I never look at is just not something I can justify, really.
That's fair.
The only reason I own the Crash and Spyro ones is because I did want to own them and look through them, and I have literally read them, or looked, you know, you don't read art, but well, they have a lot of text with them as well about like conceptual development and stuff. But I've read both of those, but there are lots of games that I like that I would never buy art books for. But I have remembered something that I would quite like to own, and I keep sort of saying I'm going to get it and I've not done it yet because I keep forgetting. I would like the Little Nightmares short graphic novel series they did. It was like a comic. I don't know if it was a graphic novel or a comic, but they did some stuff. I think after the first game came out, I don't know exactly what the context is, whether it like bridges the gap between the two games or what. And I mean, there's talk of a Netflix show as well, I think. But I find that world really interesting and very sort of hauntingly beautiful as well. So I'd quite like to read those at some point. Yeah, apparently quite good, I'm told.
I'd really like the Bloodborne comics too. They released, I think, maybe 10 issues of those in the end. They've all got really good covers, really nice. I don't know if they're available as a set yet, but certainly I bought a few of them as gifts when they were first coming out. I think maybe 2018 is when they released most of them, but they're really cool and I'd love to read those and own those and keep those protected and safe and nobody gets to touch them with their sticky hands.
I would also maybe quite like, if I could be bothered to actually read it, I'm interested in the lore of the Elder Scrolls world, because when you're walking around and people are talking about historical stuff that happened like 200 years ago,
the Lusty Argonian Maid.
I kind of feel like I wish I knew a bit more about the Lusty Argonian Maid. And you know, I don't know what happened in like the first 3-4 games, so I know what happened in the fourth one because I played it, but so I feel like I'm missing out on stuff that I would probably actually find quite interesting if I had a lore book. There must be a book out there already.
There's definitely some fictional books, because I've read two of them and they're actually pretty good. I can't remember who wrote them and I can't even remember what they were called, but I read them like 8 or 9 years ago and I found them really compelling. In fact, the last one that I read, it was 10 years ago, longer. Oh my God. Because Skyrim... It was just before Skyrim came out, and I named my Skyrim character after one of the characters from the book. I wish I knew what it was called, but it was pretty good, and it's just set in that universe. So anyway, it's time for the big discussion. It's big discussion time. Time for the big discussion. This week's big discussion comes courtesy of Bartek. Thank you very much, Bartek. And he says, hello, BPA and Walruses. Quick question. Sony lifted the veil of secrecy and showed a list of games of new PS Plus plans. What are your thoughts, opinions, hopes, dreams? Bye-bye. Thank you, Bartek.
Thanks, Bartek.
So, yes, earlier this week / last week, probably after the podcast was recorded, knowing our luck, Sony announced a bit more information about the new PS Plus tiers, that being Extra and Premium. Essential is, as we discussed before, what already exists and what everybody will be defaulting onto when the plans start rolling out, which is very soon, 24th of May in Asia, 2nd of June in Japan, 13th of June in North and South America, and the 23rd of June in Europe, Australia, and New Zealand.
Oh, we've got quite a long time to wait then.
We do. Mm. So we can watch from a distance as the entire world burns before we brace for impact when inevitably they roll it out and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So that'll be exciting. Yes, I've got a couple of quotes here from Push Square, which is obviously a good place to read about PlayStation Plus if you're interested in that sort of thing. So, Sony has today shared the first look at just some of the PS5, PS4, PS3, PS1, and PSP games that will be available at launch with the new PS Plus Extra and PS Plus Premium tiers. This isn't the complete list, but more of a taster of what to expect. We've broken down each tier below, blah, blah, blah. So I've copied every single one here. I'm not going to... Not going to read them all, obviously.
No, why
I'm
not?
I'm going to bring them up to refresh my memory, but I did read this the other
PS
day.
Plus Extra, we've got. Let's see the ones that come from PlayStation themselves: Alien Nation, Bloodborne, Concrete Genie, Days Gone. PS5 wise, we've got Death Stranding, Demon Souls, Destruction All Stars,
Ghost of Tsushima, God of War, Gravity Rush 2, and Remastered.
Those are PS4 again for those.
Oh right,
ones.
Yeah.
Knack, Little Big Planet 3, Loco Roco 2. There's
Spider-Man and Miles Morales.
Medieval's on there. Rezogun, Returnal for PS5 is on there. The Shadow of the Colossus remake. A lot of Uncharted stuff as well on PS4.
Yeah.
The Last of Us remastered and the DLC as well.
Yeah.
I didn't already say that. I can't remember. Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Yeah, from third party now, Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Because we know everyone who's wanted that game has definitely finished it. I didn't get bored halfway through.
No, they didn't at all. Mm-hmm. Final Fantasy 15. A lot of these, Guardians of the Galaxy is going on there. NBA 2K22. A lot of these are seemingly from either already in PlayStation Now or were part of the PlayStation Plus collection.
Yes.
As well as some additional stuff. Tell us about the PS3, PS1 and PSP games, Peter, if you've got them there.
This isn't a very well...
Is it easier to have a piece of one pieces of papers?
I'm on a different article and it's
there
not...
There you go. Have a look at those. This Lined is the up. First one.
is the first...
Yes. PS1. A bit further down.
Yes, there we go. Halfway down, I see. So, again, just a sweeping browse. Mm. Ape Escape, Jumping Flash, Intelligent Cube. Those are some first-party ones. And then third-party, Mr. Driller, Tekken 2, Worms World Party, and Worms Armageddon. That's it. That's all they've released so far.
Yes, that's all we know so far. This isn't a complete list.
Then we've got the classic games catalog remasters. Oh yeah. So did you guys read these ones?
No.
So I was reading my article at the same time, so I've completely missed what you guys have done. Ape Escape 2, Dark Cloud 1 and 2. I'm not sure what that is. We've got some of the Jak games, Jak and Daxter, Jak 2, Jak 3, Jak X, Combat Racing.
Jak X.
Wild Arms 3. Bioshock Remastered, Borderlands The Handsome Collection, Bulletstorm Full Clip Edition, that's one with Duke Nukem, I think, Lego Harry Potter Collection, and then some original PS3 games via streaming, because it's so hard to emulate.
Yes, yeah, streaming's not ideal, is it?
Demon's Souls, Hotshots Golf, Eco, Infamous 1 and 2, MotorStorm Apocalypse and MotorStorm RC, Rain... City Skyline. I've gone back again. Yeah.
Gone back. Yeah, we've also got Ratchet and Clank, Resistance 3, Super Stardust HD, and third party wise, Asura's Wrath, Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2, Enslaved Odyssey to the West, Fear, Lost Planet 2, and Red Dead Redemption, Undead Nightmare, that expansion. So this isn't, thank you, this isn't all of them, as we've said several times. This is just some of them. But it gives us an indication of potentially what lies in store for us on the premium and extra tiers. Sorry, extra and premium in that order. Peter, what do you think? We've now seen a whole load of games there.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind that there are some additional features for Extra and Plus outside of just here are these games you can access as part of the subscription, but it's mainly the games.
Yes.
Before we start, isn't there... something that they said that if you owned the PS1 or PSP games Oh, you've got it written down, have you?
Do a read.
According to Sony, select PS1 and PSP titles will be featured. Will have features like save states, allowing you to save the game at any time, and rewind functionality. These enhancements will be available through a new user interface. Oh dear, I'm sorry. What's more, some titles will be blessed with improved frame rates and better resolution. That isn't what I was thinking about.
That's the one I meant.
Oh,
there.
Sorry.
So select PS1 and PSP titles will be available for purchase individually, meaning previously purchased games will be available to download at no extra cost. Mm-hmm. So that's a surprising move as well.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah. And that, I think, was a bit of a saving grace, certainly from my point of view, because one of the things I've been most excited about is that this is the closest we're probably going to get, at least for now, if not forever, to backwards compatibility. That's never going to be an option in terms of sticky discs inside your PS5 and it's going to run. But at least they're, you know, making some old stuff available to people who want to play it. And yeah, okay, that's always kind of been an option with PlayStation Now, but at least it's all kind of bundled into one deal now. However, when I saw that list, I think the later on in the Sony console lifespan you go, I think the games list gets better. I think early on, I think the PS1 stuff there in particular is just completely unexciting. Tekken 2 is all right. Worms is Worms. And that's honestly kind of it in terms of, you know, what I'm interested in there. But the fact that select PS1 games will be available to purchase individually, you know, that might be of interest to certain people. But yeah, I was a bit disappointed, really. And I think, again, as we've said, this is just what we've seen now. And there may be more, well, there probably will be more to this list. But you do have to wonder if this is them kind of setting out their stall, that this might be some of the better stuff that they're trying to show off. I'd like to think that maybe there's stuff they're still negotiating or sorting out. They don't want to commit yet and say such and such a game will be available, but even though it might be like a really big selling point, maybe it's just not been nailed down. But I think that's unlikely. I think, to be honest, what we're seeing here is some of the better, in their eyes, offerings. And if that's the best they can do for PS1, I'm a bit disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose it's kind of par for the course. The further back you go, it's probably harder to sort these things out, particularly when you're dealing with third party stuff. You know, some of the rights holders of these games might not even exist. You know, there's probably IP floating around out there that is sort of in some weird holding company, or no one even really knows who owns it. So
certainly THQ Nordic.
Yeah, well, THQ Nordic. So trying to nail down third party games, the further back in history you go, is going to be harder. But even first party stuff, I mean, you know, I think it's a bit disappointing. On the other hand, and this is nothing to do now with PlayStation 1, and as I say, I think the later you go in Sony's lifetime, the games get better. But it's been confirmed, hasn't it, that you can also get Ubisoft Plus, or whatever it's called, Ubisoft Play.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think there was talk of EA...
Is it Connect? Ubisoft Connect? No. I don't know. That might be the title.
Yeah, Ubisoft have got like kind of a membership thing. I'm sure... Is it called Ubi Play or Ubi Plus or Ubisoft Play?
As far as I can tell, there's only one PSP game listed here so far.
Yeah, I couldn't see many PSP games when I was looking through.
Super Stardust Portable. I think this is the exhaustive list so far of all the stuff that they've confirmed, but there's only one PSP game on here as far as I can tell.
I don't really understand also how, like, they're saying that some PS1 games and PSP games are available to purchase. Because I assumed, and maybe I'm the idiot here, that in this, when you pay monthly, that they would be included, like, in the monthly payments that you make. I didn't realize that they were also like, and you can buy extra ones if you fancy for PS1 games that have been out for longer than some of us have been alive.
It's probably going to work the same as when a game is on PlayStation Plus, where when you go to buy it, if you're subscribed, it'll just say,
yeah, maybe
you've got this all added to the library.
But that's not how I read that. I read that as there will be extra ones available that we've made work on a PS5 that you can buy, but they won't be included in. But if you've already bought them,
I didn't
you don't have to buy them again.
From what I understood, it's some of the games that are part of the subscription will be made available
separately.
You can
buy them individually.
Right.
You can buy them on their own.
A member of the subscription.
I thought
and
it
select
was like,
ones within that. If you have purchased them previously on previous platforms, you should be able to get them for free.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was confused as to how they would also have something you would buy outside.
Yeah, that would be a bit of a...
But that makes sense. If that's how it works, that's how I think I just read it wrong.
Ubisoft Plus will be available as part of the new PlayStation Plus Extra and Premium subscription tiers.
Okay.
So that obviously comes with... A curated selection of popular games, 27 available at launch, including Assassin's Creed Valhalla, The Division, and For Honor.
There was a couple of Far Cry's on the list as well.
Yeah, Far Cry, Blood Dragon, Far Cry 4, Steep, South Park, Fractured But Whole, etc. And I'm sure I also read, this might have been something that was unconfirmed but is being sorted out, is that EA, their equivalent might also be
EA Play
might be being added in the same way.
Okay.
I don't think it was being reported that it has been. I think it was being reported that
it might
it's be. A rumor, yeah. So at least they're maybe bolting on a couple of big publishers, and that immediately increases the selection of games available. So on balance, overall, I think it's like it's a pretty good selection of games. But yeah, certainly from my point of view, as a kind of more someone more interested in the retro offerings, I think that is a bit disappointing, specifically in that corner of the deal. Yeah.
So you wouldn't, you're not tempted
as
at the
moment
as it stands.
As it stands, I'm not. I'm less tempted now than I was when it was ambiguous and it was there might be a load of. You know, PS1, PS2 stuff. I thought, well, I was never optimistic to begin with. Let me make that clear. I thought it's going to be a rubbish library, but I thought there's a chance that I'll be surprised. But now that it's been confirmed what's available so far, I'm not...
Disappointed, but not surprised.
Yeah, by that particular part of the deal. I mean, I might still look at it from the fact that, you know, some of the later games are, you know, there's some really good PS3, PS4 games on there. But yeah. As a retro fan, I'm not very interested by that at all.
Yeah. Mm. What do you think, Ashton?
I think that it has not convinced me to go to anywhere beyond essential. I think there are a lot of the games on the list for the like extra tier with the PS4, PS5 games are games I have already played, I own in disc form, or I have on my PlayStation library already.
Yeah.
And I assume that if I've liked that, like, added them to my library from the PlayStation Plus collection, because you can do that, that they're not going to take those away from me.
No.
Because I got them when I was paying for the PlayStation Plus level at that point. So I assume they're not going to take these all away from me if I don't go on to Extra. Me and MB have discussed that if, like, we did want to play something like Returnal, for example, probably the only one on that list where I'd be like, oh, yeah, well, I haven't got that on anything. I would quite like to play Returnal at some point. That if we wanted to play Returnal together, the new co-op mode, that maybe one of us would go to Extra and use, like, the family sharing that we could just play at the same time on two different PS5s. Yeah. I don't have any interest in most of the retro games that are on the list. None of those have been games that I've been like, oh, I always wanted to play that. I mean, there's a couple on there that I'd be like, okay, interesting, I would like maybe like to give that a go, but maybe I'll just pay for a month and then play the games that I want to play and then not pay for it again. It's the same thing I said about Xbox Game Pass. It's a lot of the retro stuff on there I don't bother with. I just play the new games that come on there or the games that I've been waiting for the last couple of years that have come out. I don't have that much nostalgia to a lot of the games. I don't really have a lot of kind of like fond memories of PlayStation 3, 2 or 1 games. So I don't really feel the need to pay for the, what's it called, premium?
The top one, yeah.
Level, yeah. So I think I'll probably just stick with Essential to see what the new 3 games I get a month. See what's fun and exciting on that list. And if there is, like, say, more on Extra and games that are coming out to PlayStation that are brand new go on Extra, maybe I will consider it. But if it's just going to be, like, a backlog of games that have come out, I don't know if I'm going to bother with Extra. I think the best thing about Game Pass is that games that are brand new come straight to Game Pass. And these are games that I would potentially pay, I don't know, like, anywhere upwards of £50 for, but I can just play on Xbox Game Pass and just give it a go. Whereas if they're not going to have new titles coming to Extra on this section, then I don't think I would bother going for these games because a lot of them are games I've already played or have. So I'm not really that interested, to be honest. It's not been like, oh yeah, definitely we'll go for extra now. Like, I was tempted, but it hasn't like swooned me. It's not knocked me off my feet. Yeah. So
not like Pan Am.
No, not like Pan Am. Love you, Pan Am.
It's not a Game Pass competitor.
No, it's not.
Until Sony start putting their exclusives day one on it, which they've said categorically is not going to happen, then it's just not comparable to Game Pass, which is that's the main appeal. Yeah, there's a big library of games that you can subscribe for, but I think most people are there for the day one exclusives. That's why it's such a crazy deal. And there's a lot of really great games here. And the enhancements to some of the select classic games, like the save states and the rewind functionality, is really good and great. And it's some kind of effort, not a very big one currently, but it's some kind of effort of preservation.
Yeah.
Don't like that we're still having to stream PS3 games. I know this is an early list, but there's some notable omissions from it, just as there were when all of those PS3 games were on PlayStation Now, like... Where's Resistance 2? Why is it Resistance 1 and 3?
Yeah.
At least both of the Infamous games are on there.
You would think that first party stuff as well.
It should all just be on there.
It should just all be on.
There's no excuse for it not to all be on there.
I totally understand like some really great third party classics not being there. You know, you might say, well, that's not much of a PS3 library. That's much of a PS2, PS1 library. It's missing, you know, whatever, Tekken 3. Well, that's Namco, isn't it? But...
Mm.
If all the PS1s, all the first party stuff is available to them,
they
why is it not there?
Put every single thing that they own that they are not. I mean, the fact that Returnal and Demon's Souls on PS5, admittedly, they're probably not shifting many copies anymore, but all of their first party games that they don't see as big sellers anymore should go on there.
Yeah.
They should all be on there. There's no reason for them not to. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
There are some great games in there. I own most of them already.
Mm-hmm.
I will beat the drum forever about getting backwards compatibility working for the sake of preservation and for people to be able to play their old games. But personally, I'm not overly interested in subscribing to a very premium service in order to do that. Especially if the games aren't really there currently. We don't know, again, what these are. I am not interested at all. I am interested to see how it goes and what people make of it. But personally, I'm not putting down my money for extra or premium. And if, like your situation with MB, if a friend and if I've got like a friend visiting or a friend and I want to play a game that neither of us have, then maybe it's justifiable, just like I did with PlayStation Now and talked about on this podcast. Maybe it's justifiable.
Said that. That's how
subscribe
I did
for 1 month and play what you want to play and then go back down to a different tier. But I can't remember what the prices are. I should have written them down. But it's going to be expensive for 1 month. And there's
should
a good chance that you could...
Look?
Yes, please. There's a good chance that you could probably... buy that game.
Well, that's what you'll do. You'll look just at like what's the cost of the game and what's the cost of a month of now. Yeah.
Exactly. And I could justify it on PlayStation Now. This is just super PlayStation Now, is what it is. It's been rolled into PlayStation Plus, which should have been done ages ago.
Yeah.
But this isn't PlayStation Game Pass. This is PlayStation Now 2, essentially. It's just what PlayStation Now should always have been.
Yeah.
But the lowest tier is what PlayStation Plus has always been. Mm-hmm. So
prices are for Essential, it is $6.99, which is the same as it is currently.
Yeah.
For Extra, it's $10.99. This is in pounds, but there are all the exchange rates on there. And for Premium, it is £13.50 a month.
So that's not too bad for 1 month if you just wanted to dump it, especially if there's a PS5 game you wanted to play.
Mm. Yeah.
You could just put down that money for a month and play it. So in that sense, it could be quite lucrative. But day one, in terms of looking at an ongoing subscription, not knowing the rest of these games and knowing what the currently announced games are and the features that are available at those more premium tiers, I'm not going to put my money down.
I'd be very interested to know as well how some of those older games are being run, in the sense that have they been sort of converted into apps, if you like, or are they essentially ISOs running on a little secret hidden emulator somewhere?
Like the PlayStation Classic.
Well, this is the thing that is baffling to me, is the fact that like most of these PlayStation 1 games and PlayStation 2, you can emulate and have the exact same features, you know, save states and whatnot, for free
Yeah.
On the internet, there are ISOs abundance. Like,
well, what I was going to say was, if it turns out that they are essentially being emulated, if there's then an emulator on my console, why can't I stick a disc
access
in?
It. Yeah.
Like, why can't I access it and like add? People will probably be, if it is being emulated, people will be jailbreaking their consoles, I suspect.
Mm.
But why can't I access it and add ISOs or stick my discs into the drive? Because you can do that with the one we use.
Yeah, I heard it.
So. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
You can
if you still have a CD drive.
Yeah, if you still have a CD drive, you don't have to download ISOs for ePSXe, which we use for PS1 emulation. If you put a PS1 disc into your CD drive, it can run it off that.
Mm.
So if there's going to be an emulator on my PS5, if I subscribe to this service, why can't I use it in that way? Maybe that's not how it's going to be working. I don't know. But yeah, that's interesting.
I don't know. I'm unconvinced. I'm happy that it exists, and I don't think... To be clear, I don't think this is a bad situation here.
Mm.
I just, it's not for me.
No.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Equally, I'm not really sure what they would have to do to get me in there. Maybe day one releases. But I appreciate that that is not something that they want to do or that their business model permits them from doing, essentially.
They certainly need to put all their first party.
They should put all their first party library on it.
Stuff.
But even if they did, I still wouldn't subscribe because I've got most of their first party. I've already bought it. I already own it. It's just not necessary for me.
Yeah.
One PSP game is not great currently. Need more of those. I assume that'll be the usual suspects. Your God of War, Chains of Olympus, and that sort of stuff. It'll be great to see the original Persona games got ported to PSP. It'll be nice to see those on there. Doubt that will happen. Mm-hmm. But if that happens, that might be worth a month's subscription just to play one of those. But that is the only situation currently that I can see myself subscribing is just to dip in for one game that's cheaper than buying separately. But let us know what you think. Are you going to subscribe to Extra or Premium from day one? Or are you going to stick with Essential? Let us know. Peter,
yeah.
Where can people find us on the internet?
Team Triple Jump. Just put that in. It's there. We do our content on youtube.com and twitch.tv/Team Triple Jump. It's where our videos and live streams happen. If you've got Amazon Prime, you get a Twitch sub with that. It's just part of the bundle. So you could spend that on us if you like. No extra cost. When we're streaming on both Twitch and YouTube, we're modded by Lob Rotovich, Trailing Badger, and Mr. Black. We're on Twitter and Facebook at twitter.com and facebook.com/Team Triple Jump. We've got video content on there. We've got a lot of live streams happening and premieres happening on Facebook right now. If you watch those, it does help us get towards our goal so that we can monetize Facebook. I know we've been talking about it for a long time in different ways, but please do watch our live stuff if it's there. Thank you to Fraser for looking after Twitter and Facebook for us, and also for looking after our TikTok with Ashton. TikTok.com/@Team Triple Jump. You can go and watch us on TikTok where we do ticks and talks.
Yes, we do.
Patreon.com/Team Triple Jump is where all of our Patreon rewards are available. You can ask questions on this podcast, get early access to Worst Games Ever and Weirdest Games Ever, and get special video messages from us as a group as well if you want one of those.
Yeah.
We have a website. It's triplej.mup. That's triplju.mp. It spells jump. Isn't that clever?
That's so clever.
If you want
to. That was my idea, by the way.
Oh, you're so smart.
Just want that on record.
Was it?
Yeah, it was.
I thought that was an Adam.
No.
I'm sorry.
Peter.
I've been misattributed to
Peter. If you want to join our Discord, why not go to triplej.mup/Discord and chat with our wonderful community over on there. On Discord, we're modded by Jack, Joe, Tori, and Hollow Eyes. And if I tell you to do something, bloody well do it. If you want to listen to the podcast in its audio forms, why not go to triplej.mup/podcast. If you want to watch one of the live stream VODs, we do lots of live streams a week, so if you miss one, never fear. You can watch them at triplej.mup/VODs. If you want to book a cameo from any of us or James Jenkins, why not go to triplej.mup/cameo. And if you want to buy some sick and cool merch, like this. Not like this. This is exclusive to Ben. Why not go to triplejumpshop.com? triplejumpshop.com. And make sure you're following at triplejumpshop on Twitter for the latest merch announcements.
Mm, absolutely. Why not follow Peter and Ashton on Instagram and Twitter at thatpeterAustin and at scrambledashton, and myself just on Twitter at confused_dude. We do lists every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Thursday being the joint streams.
Blaze it.
On YouTube. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday being the solo streams on Twitch. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly. Friday for patrons of a certain tier. Sunday for everyone else. We do the podcast every Saturday and shows all the flipping time. So come subscribe, even though you already are. We'll see you there. Also, leave a 5-star review on your platform of choice. It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms. It really does help us out. So go leave those reviews. This week, it is, we promise, it's happened. Lego Ranked is now out.
It's available.
It was ready to go, but we had some export issues at the 11th hour. We had some export issues at the 11th degree. So it is ready. It's uploaded. I mean, it's out. It released on Friday. So go watch that. Every single Lego game ranked from worst to best. But that's not all, is it? Is there?
No.
We potentially might have a Quipscope for...
Oh, yeah.
What's it called? Multiverses.
Multiverses. Oh, yeah.
The alpha. And, I mean, we don't know yet, but it might come out next week, a video that James is working on. I think it'll probably be next week. I think
week.
He was aiming Exciting. For this week, but... I mean, it might have gone out, but probably next
It's the return
week.
Of a popular series.
Yeah.
Very exciting. That's right.
They haven't done since 2019.
Also, Weirdest Games Ever goes out for everyone this weekend. Tomorrow, at time of release of this podcast.
Yes.
It's obviously been out for a week if you are a patron of the $5 tier, but it is going to be available this weekend.
Do you guys want to know something?
Well, always.
So this is my last podcast before I go on holiday. And it breaks 4 months straight of podcasts from me. Someone told me yesterday on my stream, they said that as of today, I break my 4-month streak of not missing a single podcast.
Damn.
I mean,
it's quite sad.
You're able to brag about that sort of this year,
yeah.
But in the pre Ashton days,
yeah.
Pre Ashton era.
Yeah.
Where'd that C come from?
Pay.
Did I say E to C?
Yeah.
I'm
You're okay.
Having some sort of strong.
He didn't have his sugary drink this morning.
PAE is
yeah.
what I meant.
Yeah.
Pay.
Right. Pay. Ben and I had to. We really did some sidestepping around being off ill, didn't we? I think we had some streaks of.
Yeah.
8-9 months sometimes. Sam would step in. But.
Yeah, there were a couple I did without Peter, but I didn't miss a podcast until you started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
I've not been poisoning you or anything, so. Yeah.
Well, I disagree.
Well, you're turning 30
I can't
now,
even
so you might
turn
miss a few
BCE
more.
Into A. I still can't do it.
Oh, my God.
B-A-E.
Just end the podcast.
See?
The nice thing about
having... No, it's not got a C in it.
The nice thing about having Ashton here is that Peter and I can afford to be ill now and don't, you know...
But you can't for the next 2 weeks.
We can still be ill.
Yeah.
We have an actual team now.
I must be ill.
To start with. Ashton, what's the sponsor, please?
The sponsor for this week is, of course, by the wonderful devs behind Trek to Yomi, documenting Sam Ryder's journey to Eurovision. It's Trek to Turin.
And it's out at some point.
Check
him
Body.
Out. Right, see you later, everybody. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.